appreciate the opportunity to come be in this Cornerstone camp meeting here in Toccoa, Georgia. It's really great to be with you. And I'm just appreciative of all you've done, the nice room, the food basket, all the good meals, the good fellowship that we've enjoyed with the ministers, saints of God. I've enjoyed so much being with all of the ministers. God bless you, Brother Weeks. I appreciate you very much. Appreciate Brother Ben Weeks. I'm going to love Brother Weeks. Praise God. Amen. Appreciate Brother and Sister Weeks and their daughter and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. I appreciate them so much. Thank you for allowing me to come, Brother Johnson. Thank you for allowing me to come to the Townley. It's so good to be with you. Appreciate my friend, Brother Townley. Great man of God, a great preacher. Love and appreciate him. Brother Alviar has done such a tremendous job of preaching, and I've enjoyed his ministry. Can you say amen? Done a great job of preaching. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So let's open our Bibles this morning and read the Word of the Lord, and we'll try to bring a few minutes of God's Word in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 13 and verse number 30. Chapter 13 and verse number 30. Again, thank you for everything. You have blessed me immensely, and I thank you for it. I really, really do. I've just enjoyed this place so much, and all the good things that we've been able to enjoy while we've been here. God bless you. And I pray the services tonight will be a great and grand finale to a wonderful camp meeting. Pray that God will bless you in the service immensely, and I know you'll hear some wonderful, wonderful word of God tonight from Brother Alviar. Amen. Let's read from Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able." Now notice, Caleb had just stilled the people and said that we are well able. Verse 30. The people that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched in the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." I've read verse 30 through 33, the 13th chapter of Numbers. I want to bring a few minutes of God's Word to you this morning. And I'd like to use for a subject, for the sake of the subject, my subject will be, "They said it couldn't be done." They said it couldn't be done. Brother Weeks, would you come pray for us this morning? Let's all talk to God and worship God.
Lord, thank you for this good elder speaking into our lives today. Lord, we thank you for your presence we have already felt. As we gather around your word for these few moments, I pray that you would anoint this messenger and anoint our hearts and our minds to receive what your spirit would say unto us. Send a mighty anointing. Send a great blessing. Send your power and your spirit in a mighty way in this place. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Touch our hearts, God, as we respond to your word today, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory. Send revival to our churches. Bless every pastor, every man of God, every young person today. Bless us, refresh us in the power of your spirit, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands and give him praise.
Hallelujah. Let's give God high praise right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you as you're seated this morning. Thank you for standing. We know the story from Numbers chapter number 13. How that the 12 spies were sent to spy out the land. They were not sent to see if they could possess the land. God had already given them the assurance that they would be able to possess the land. They simply went to spy out the land to see the route they would take, the way they would go, and to see what was there. But they'd already been given the assurance that they would possess the land. That had been a promise to them for many, many years. And the promises of God never fail. The promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. They are yes, and so be it. The Word of God shall never fail. Not one Word of God shall ever fall to the ground. God's Word will be accomplished. Amen. But when the 12 spies came back, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Bible said that 10 of the spies came back with a report that said it can't be done. 10 of them said it cannot be done. In their estimation of themselves, they said, we are as grasshoppers in our sight. And so were we in their sight. And I'm going to tell you, it's been said, and I'm going to say it again this morning, you've got to be or become a grasshopper in your own sight before you'll ever become one in their sight. One thing that hinders the people of God oftentimes from fulfilling God's will, whether it's a preacher, a saint, or whoever it is, young person, one thing that keeps us back from doing the will of God is our fear of the present and our fear of the unknown. We fear the things we don't understand. And a lot of times it's fear that grips our heart that we cannot do certain things. God gives you the assurance that you can be a soul winner. But fear will grip your heart and say that you cannot do it. Amen. Fear will cause you to think, if I witness to somebody, they will not accept it. They will not receive it. They will not believe it. They're going to reject me. They're going to turn me away. And fear hath torment. But I'm glad that perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. And the Bible said that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. You see, while the 10 spies, while the vast majority, 10 out of 12, said it cannot be done, there was 2 men that said it can be done. Thank God for the 2 that say it can be done. Some people say, maybe a majority says, we don't believe that our church can grow, but a handful says, we believe that our church can grow. We need to react to the positive and negate the negative. You may be seated. Some young people say, well, our youth group cannot grow. But that's a lie of the devil. Your youth group can go. You grow. You may have 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. But if you'll believe God and take God at His word, and then get busy about the task of winning other young people. I'm telling you, your youth group can grow. Your young people in the church can be blessed. You can be blessed and be a blessing to your church. Hallelujah. 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 We need to think in the way that God thinks. We need to act and react in the way that God would have us to. We need to push aside the negative. That's always been the gainsayers and the naysayers to say it can't be done. But thank God for the people that says, I'm going to stand upon the Word of God
Whatever God says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to believe. I read one time where Daniel Webster said this. He said, the most important thought that ever entered into my mind is my personal accountability to Almighty God. He said, that's the greatest thought, the most important thought. So I think it ought to be an important thought to all of us. My personal responsibility to God, what is it? Now that I have the Holy Ghost, it's my job to reach others. It's my business. It is the business of the church to reach others. Jesus taught us that we ought to be about our Father's business. I'm telling you, the Father's business is to seek and to save that which was lost. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I'd like to emphasize this morning that every man and woman, every young person ought to leave this camp meeting this week and go home and say, I can be a vessel used of God. I can be a soul winner. I can make a difference in my church. I can make a difference in my youth group. I will not be negative. I will be positive. I will not say it can't be done. I'll say it shall be done. This is the will of God. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there was a great difference in the men that said it can't be done and those that said it can be done. 10 people said it can't be done, and 2 men, Caleb and Joshua, said it can be done. Thank God for the spirit of Caleb. Thank God for the spirit of Joshua. Thank God for the good report of the minority. Amen. God often does his greatest work in the minority. And not through the majority. Amen. Hallelujah. The majority of this world is not serving God. But there's enough people serving God right now to make a profound difference in the lives of others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel His presence here this morning. And 2 men said, we are well able. Everybody in this building ought to say, whatever I'm facing, we are well able. Every pastor in this building ought to say, by God's grace, we are well able. We can build a church. We will build a church. Our church will grow. Our church will be blessed. Our church does have the favor of God. Our church does have the anointing of God. Our church does preach the gospel. Our church gets the message out, and we shall grow by the help of God. Somebody clap your hands with me and praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. I've read that in the Far East, there is a plant. The people plant a tree, and it's called the Chinese bamboo. And during the first 4 years after they planted this tree, the first 4 years they water it, they fertilize the plant, but when they look at it, it apparently has little or no results. It looks about the same. Then we are told that the 5th year that the Chinese bamboo, after it's been planted, the 5th year, they water it, they fertilize it, and in 5 weeks' time, it grows from a small tree to 90 feet tall. In 5 weeks, it goes from a small tree to 90 feet tall. And then the obvious question would be, did the Chinese bamboo grow 90 feet in 5 weeks, or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years? The answer is, it grew 90 feet in 5 years. Amen. Because if at any time during those first 4 years the people had stopped watering it and stopped fertilizing it, it would have died. It would have never become the large bamboo tree. I'm just here to encourage somebody today. You may have been planting the seed. You may have been preaching. You may have been teaching. You may have been working in the youth group. You may say it's all about the same, but keep planting and keep watering. Hallelujah. I said keep planting, keep watering. Paul said one plants and another waters, but it's God that giveth the increase. Keep on fasting. Keep on praying. Keep on living for God. Keep on loving God. Keep on serving God. Keep on sowing the seed. Hallelujah. After a while, the results are going to come. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And so many times in our lives, if we're not careful, our dreams and our plans appear to be not succeeding. We look at the way the world calls success, and it looks like we're not succeeding. We are tempted to give up. We are tempted to quit trying. But instead of giving up and not trying, let's keep watering. Let's water our dreams. Let's fertilize our dreams. Hallelujah. Because we know this, that if we don't quit, if we persevere, if we have endurance, we will also reap the harvest. Hallelujah. I said there's a harvest that's waiting in the state of Georgia, in South Carolina, in Florida, in New Brunswick, in Tennessee, wherever you are, there is a harvest that is waiting. Hallelujah. You know, you may be seated. I read one time where Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. By perseverance. Boy, it don't move very fast. But by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Amen. What does that say to you and I? Let's persevere. Let's stay faithful in what we're doing. Amen. I'm challenging somebody this morning, do the right thing and just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Preach the word and keep preaching it and keep preaching it and keep preaching it. God's word will not return void. Praise God. Did you know that God will help us to do the impossible? God will help us to do the things that we ordinarily cannot do because we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And there's neither height nor depth nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Hey, folks, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning team. God's going to help us. God's going to be with us. Go back home strengthened. Go back home encouraged. Go back home believing. I'm not going to be of the 10. I'm going to be of the 2 that says we are well able. My church is going to have revival. 2015 is going to be the greatest year of revival in my home church. Praise God. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You know, instead of acting sometimes, we react. Instead of acting sometimes, we worry. We fret. We stew. We can't get the things that we want from God because of worry. Somebody said worry is like fog. The Bureau of Standards in Washington, D.C. says that a dense fog that is covering 7 city blocks It covers seven city blocks. It's dense. It is 100 feet deep or high. But the Bureau of Standards in Washington says that fog covering seven blocks, 100 feet up, is comprised of something less than one glass of water. The fog that's seven city blocks wide, 100 feet deep, you get all the water out of it, it has less than one glass of water. That would be divided into 60 million tiny droplets. Not much there, but I tell you what, there's enough there to block out your vision. I said there's enough there to block out your vision. Don't let worry control your life. Don't let frustration control your life. Boy, I feel like encouraging somebody today. Let's rise up in the power of God and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that little bit of water in that fog can block out your vision. And a cup full of worry can do the same thing. I said a cup full of worry can do the same thing. It can stop your purpose. It can stop your vision. It can defeat your desire. Hallelujah. I believe the apostolic church is in a crucial hour right now. Will we succumb? Will we give in? Will we capitulate? Will we become like the world? Will we become like the rest of the world? Amen. Will we just fit in and flow with everybody else? Or will we dare to rise up and be that anointed people that God wants us to be? I'm going to say, church, it's time for us to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost to be the people that God ordained us to be. Praise God, praise God. Some people say, you just can't do it. Your youth group, I'm coming back to this. Some say your youth group cannot grow. And some of you young people may have accepted the devil's lies. Our youth group is not going to grow. But your young people's group can grow in your church. Amen. If you've got one or two or three or four, get together, get anointed by the Spirit, begin to pray and seek God, begin to fast and pray, and say, we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with status quo. We're not satisfied with business as usual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we need the spirit of divine dissatisfaction. I think we need the spirit of divine restlessness. Glory to God. We don't need to be dissatisfied with God, or the Bible, or the church, or our pastor, or the people. We need a divine dissatisfaction with our own level of spiritual productivity. Hallelujah. We can do more. We can do it better. God can be glorified. We need divine discontentment. Hallelujah. To move into our souls today that said, I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. But angels can't be seen in daylight. But you're one angel that's going to be seen. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's the kind of spirit the church needs this morning. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. We need the spirit of Esther that said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going in to King Ahasuerus. Amen. And he's going to hold out the golden scepter to me. I'm going to be accepted. But remember this, Mordecai, I said, Esther, remember you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God's raised you up for such a time as this. But if you don't do it, God will raise up deliverance from another place. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, apostolics, if we don't do it, somebody will. If we don't pray, somebody will. If we don't have church, somebody will. If you don't shout, somebody will. you don't praise God, somebody will. You don't become a soul winner, somebody will. Somebody. It might as well be you and me. Praise God. You may be seated. There was a man near my hometown in Missouri. He was from Dexter, Missouri. And he had lost several people out of his church, at a small church, and he turned to his wife one day that's driving down the road. And he said, "You know what, baby?" He said, sometimes I think it's just you and me going to be saved. You know, the devil would like to back us in a corner, make us think that nobody wants God anymore. He said, "Sometimes I think it's just you and me going to be saved." He said, "Tell you the truth, sometimes I wonder about you." Amen. That's the kind of spirit that can get a hold of you. That old negative spirit. That old spirit of doubt, fear, and unbelief. Hallelujah. God's not going to save anybody but my wife and me, my son John, his wife, us four, no more. Let me tell you, there's a world out there that somebody is waiting for God. I'm telling you, somebody is waiting for our God, our message, our gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Christians see the unseeable. Christians believe the impossible. And Christians attempt the impossible. Hallelujah. 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 We only believe it can't be done until somebody does it. Everybody says it can't be done. But when somebody does it, they say, "Hoop to do, I'm going to get on board." Let me tell you, don't wait 6 months from now or a year from now and say, "Our church is having a revival. I think I'll get on board with it." I'm challenging somebody to leave this Georgia camp meeting and say, "I'm not going to have a revival. I'm going to be a revival. I'm going to be a revival. Bless God, everywhere I go, I'm going to be a revival. I'm going to witness and pray. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to love others. Hallelujah. And I am not going to have a revival. I'm going to be a revival." Praise God. One preacher said, "Get you some chalk. Just some little chalk like you use in school. Take it and draw a circle in your room or in your office, wherever you want to draw it. Just draw you a circle. And get inside of that circle and stand there and say, 'I'm not going to leave this circle until I have a mighty touch of God upon my life. I'm not leaving this circle until God comes down and blesses me.'" Hallelujah. If you start having that attitude, there's nothing impossible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. There's people that say an old man can't be born again or made new. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "How can that be?" I'm talking about they said it couldn't be done. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I've said to you, you must be born again." Let me tell you, they say it can't be done, but older people can be made new. Older people can be born again. The world says, "Join the church, sign the card, shake hands with the preacher, make a public confession, write your name here on this membership roll, and that means you're saved. Hallelujah." But we believe that you can be born again, born from above, born the second time. Some people say it's impossible to tame a wild man. But I was reading this week in Mark chapter 5, where there was a man that was wild. He was in the tombs day and night. He screamed and cried. Others were fearful and intimidated by him. In fact, the Bible said no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Nobody could tame him. And so they say it can't be done. But I'm telling you that Jesus came along and in one moment's time, he did the impossible. Hallelujah. You say, I've got a friend on drugs. They'll probably never be saved. God can deliver them from drugs in one service, one day, one night, one place. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on the drug addict. Don't give up on the drinkers. Don't give up on the fornicators. Don't give up on those that are living in sin. There is hope. There is life. There is power in the name of Jesus. Somebody clap your hands with me and praise Him. Hallelujah. They said it couldn't be done. They said it couldn't be done. They said an old man can't be born and made new. They said a wild man cannot be tamed. They said 5,000 men besides women and children cannot be fully fed with one boy's lunch. They said it can't be done. But brother, when they got through eating, there were 12 baskets full of fragments that remained and picked up that nothing be lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They said that a person going through a trial cannot rejoice. We heard last night, man went through the trial of his life and came out of it with a victory and the power of God in his life. No matter what you're going through this morning, whatever the trial and test may be, there is a God that wants to strengthen you and bring you through the trial, and your faith will be stronger than it's ever been before. Hallelujah. Paul talked about people that he said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. That's really going to the nth degree. He said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Because when we're weak, we learn how to trust in God. We learn how to lean on the Lord. We learn how to say, not my will, but thine be done. When we're weak, we say, God, I give all to you. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. At midnight, Paul and Silas were singing praises to God. And God brought them out of the jail. Amen. I said, God's deliverance was there. They said, it can't be done. They said that a poor person cannot be rich. But the Bible said, you may be poor in this world, but you can be rich in faith. And heirs of the kingdom, which God has promised to them that love Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to sing it today. I'm a poor rich man. I don't have much of this world's goods, but I've got God in my life. And as long as I have that, that is enough and that is sufficient. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. They said that a blind man could never see. But I was reading in John 9 where a man was born blind. Amen. Jesus came by. That's all it takes. Jesus came by. One Wednesday night Bible study can change the life of an individual. One Sunday morning service can change somebody's life forever. May not take a series of protracted meetings, but one service can be the catalyst that can change a life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came by, and you know the story. He came forth seeing. Amen. That which they said could not be done came to pass. They said that a dead person could never live again. They said a dead person cannot rise. They said he's been dead 4 days, and by this time he stinketh. Hallelujah. But Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that had been dead 4 days and nights came forth with a grave clothes about his body and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Let me tell you, there's people in this tent meeting that you've got life. You've been brought out of the grave, but you still got a napkin around your face. You've still got your grave clothes on. And God's saying, pull those grave clothes off. Get that napkin out of your face. Start praising. Start worshiping. Start shouting. Start magnifying God. Well, glory. Somebody shout amen. They said They said it could not be done. Don't listen to the gainsayers. Don't listen to the naysayers. I remember one time years ago when I was just a young preacher. I was in the state of Mississippi. Maybe see it. I was in the state of Mississippi, and I heard an older man preach at that time. His name was B.E. Eccles. Some of you may remember him. He wrote a lot of tracts and the Godhead and various subjects that he wrote well on. I heard Brother B.E. Eccles in the last few years, maybe the last few months of his ministry, and he told about a story that I've never forgotten. He was in East Texas, somewhere around Longview, Marshall, somewhere in there, and he was in front of a barber shop. I believe it was in Marshall, Texas, East Texas, and he said he was walking down the street preaching revival there, walking down the street one day and said he got in front of a barber shop. This older gentleman made an impact on me. Said he got in front of a barber shop and said the Holy Ghost spoke to him, said jump up and down three times and shout hallelujah. Right? Right in front of the barber shop. He said, I slowed down and I walked in. I got to where there was an alley. And he said, I said, God, I'll shout right here. God said, no, you go back in front of the barber shop. You go back in front of the barber shop and you jump up and down three times and shout hallelujah. He said, I knew it was God. I didn't want to do it in my flesh. But he said, I went back in front of that barber shop. I jumped up and down three times and shouted hallelujah. And nothing happened. Sometimes when you've done all to stand, just stand. You may say, I'm not seeing the miracles. I'm not seeing the progress. I'm not seeing the revival I want to see. Just hang on. It's coming, honey. It's coming. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And so, maybe see, Brother Echo said, years passed by. In fact, he said, 9 years passed by. And he was holding a tent revival. Brother Townley, in one of those East Texas towns, just a few miles from Marshall, and he said, one night he gave an altar call in that tent meeting, and an older gentleman came and knelt over there beside the tent pole and prayed. He said he prayed, and he said, I went over to him, and I said, sir, I'm glad to see you. I've never seen you before. He said, no, sir. He said, would you mind telling me what brought you to church? Did somebody invite you? He said, no. He said, how was it that you came to church tonight? He said, well, you're not probably going to believe this, but he said, 9 years ago, he said, I was sitting in a barber shop in Marshall, and he said, a man did the craziest thing I've ever seen. He said, the man was cutting my hair, and I was just sitting there looking out, and a man jumped up and down and screamed hallelujah, jumped up and down three times, screamed hallelujah. Nothing else happened. That's been 9 years ago. He said, okay. He said, well, somebody gave me a handbill of this revival, and it had your picture on it. And I said, if I can ever see that man, I'm going to go see him. He said, I'm here tonight because you shouted in front of my barber shop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, friend, obey God. Don't obey man, obey God. It's better to obey God than man. Whatever God says, do it. Don't question it. Don't doubt it. Believe God. Come on, apostolics. Believe God for the impossible. Don't listen to the 10. There's 2 that says it can be done. Hallelujah. 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 In 1876, they were holding a Methodist convention up the East Coast. 1876. There was a bishop there, and he got up and talked, and he made this statement. He said, everything, every major thing that is to be invented has been invented. There's nothing else major that's going to be invented. And he said, I'm telling you, it's not the will of God for men to fly. He said, if God wanted you to fly, he'd have given you wings. And it's not the will of God. That was 1876. He said, it's not the will of God for you to fly. And there'll never be anybody that'll fly above our head. You can just forget that. Amen. And about 25 years later, there was 2 boys that went out and flew a plane. The bishop's name was Wright. He had two boys named Wilbur and Orville. Amen. The bishop that said it couldn't be done. The man said it'll never happen. His own boys were the first ones to fly up over our heads. Let me tell you, whatever the devil says, don't listen to it. Don't give credibility to it. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody could get a hold of faith this morning that says whatever God says, it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. The will of God shall never be stopped nor defeated. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I was preaching in Michigan many years ago, and I talked to an evangelist, and he said he was in Dearborn, Michigan, right there near Detroit. I was preaching in that area. And he said he was kind of an outgoing, to say the least, kind of a wild type of guy. I mean, whatever he felt like God said, he'd do it. And so he said he was driving down the road one Friday afternoon and preaching a revival there. It was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, preaching a revival in that community. And he said, all at once the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, go up and knock on that door. And he said, God, I don't even know him. I've never been down this street before. God said, obey my voice and listen. Go up and knock on that door and talk to the people. He said, so I knew it's God. I got so excited, I parked on the wrong side of the street. I left the door standing wide open. And I run up there. And at that time, they had a tract out. And that tract said, are you tired of dry, dead, dull, boring church? Some of you may have seen the tract. He said, I didn't know what to say. I'm just trying to obey God. And I come to the door, and a teenage girl about it, 17, 18, came to the door. And he said, young lady, are you tired of a dry, dead, dull, boring church? What an introduction to somebody you don't even know. Are you tired of a dry, dead, dull, boring church? She hollered around and said, Mama, there's a strange man at the door. And so Mom came running, thinking that somebody was about to talk bad or molest her daughter. She came up there and said, sir, what did you say to my daughter? He said, ma'am, don't get excited. I just asked her a question, and I'm going to ask it to you. Are you tired of a dry, dead, dull, boring church? Tears came into her eyes. The junction, she said, as a matter of fact, we are. She said, last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, my husband and I have been Catholic all of our life, and we were sitting at the kitchen table drinking coffee and reading the Bible, and said, my husband said, there's got to be more to religion than what we're getting out of it. Hallelujah. Listen, the Holy Ghost knows what we need and when we need it. Maybe she said, sir, why don't you sit down over here? My husband's at work. He'll be home in 30, 45 minutes. So he sat down. Husband came home. It was 5 o'clock when he came home. At 7:30, the man and his wife and 3 teenagers were in church. And by 10 o'clock that night, all 5 were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying we ought to do something crazy and stupid, but we ought to obey God. Hallelujah. Somebody wrote a song that said, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. I'm going to tell you, friend, God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. He'll send forth His power. Don't believe what the ten spies said, but believe what the 2 said. Let's all stand together right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's all worship the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Let's worship God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 It is no secret. God wants to declare His power and glory through His people. God wants to use you. God wants to anoint you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to bless your body. God wants to bless your mind. God wants to bless your spirit. God wants to give you strength. It is no secret what God will do. Some of you may have come to this camp going through a dark time in your life. But remember this, that the darkest hour that you will ever face is only 60 minutes long. The darkest hour you will ever face is only 60 minutes long. Hallelujah. And sometimes we are guilty, not of crucifying Jesus, but of crucifying ourselves. Sometimes we crucify ourselves between two thieves. One of them is our regret for yesterday. And on the other side is our fear of tomorrow. Some of us have crucified ourselves between the two thieves. Regret for yesterday and fear of tomorrow. But God wants to take away our fear. God wants to grant us the power of His presence. I'll close with this. I heard a preacher say years ago that he was pastoring in the state of Texas. And he said, had a lady in his church, man, his wife, one child in his church. And the lady found out one day that she had cancer. They were in their 20s, upper 20s. The doctor told her, said, you've got cancer. You probably won't live a year at the max. And then she came home from that doctor's report, and there was a note on the table. Her husband left her a note and said, I'm not staying. I'll never come back. I'm leaving. Same day. Same day the doctor said, you've got cancer. You probably won't live a year. The same day that her husband said, I'm leaving. They called her that night and said, don't come back to your job. You've been terminated. Three major things in one day. Lost her job. Not going to live because she got cancer, and her husband left, and she's got a 6-year-old to raise. Her pastor said, she got on her knees the next morning, and she said, now God, I'm going to go look for work. I'm going to find a job, and I'm going to raise my 6-year-old, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to raise my child to be grown. And she said, now God, that's all I've got to say right now. I'm going to look for a job. Which she found a job that day. Said the next morning, she got on her knees and said, God, I found a job. Thank you for giving me a job. My husband's left. I've got cancer in my body. I've got a brand new job. And I've got a 6-year-old that I want to raise. I'll talk to you about it again tomorrow. She came back on her knees the next morning and said, God, I've got my new job. But I've lost my husband. And the doctor said, I'm going to live less than a year with cancer. But she said, I want to raise my 6-year-old, and I want to see him grown. And I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. He said, every day she prayed that prayer. Every day. God, I'm on a new job. God, I've lost my husband. God, I've lost my health. But I've got a 6-year-old to raise. And he said, I was there the night that 6-year-old walked across the platform. And got his high school diploma. He wasn't 6 now. He was about 18. He'd gone from being 6 to 18. 12 years had happened. And that mama was still standing there on the front row. Face just beaming. Hallelujah. 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 You can overcome the things that are tormenting you. That are bedeviling you. That are trying to steal your victory. And your walk with God. I'm challenging somebody to leave camp meeting this week. And say, by the grace of God, I'm going to do God's will. I'm not only going to live for God. I'm going to live in victory. I'm not only going to live for God. I'm going to win somebody else to God. I'm going to be a part of that Caleb and Joshua spirit. I'm going to be a part of that. Attitude that says it can be done. It can be done. as they sing, I'd like for everybody that would to come forward. Let's have prayer this morning. Somebody needs an answer to prayer, and God's here to help you. Somebody needs strength, and God's here to give you strength. Somebody needs some peace of mind this morning. Some of you are facing difficult decisions when you go back home from the camp meeting. But God is already whispering in your ear and saying, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's come to pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. He is softly calling, but because